you might be wondering what this is all about. What you're just after hearing, for those of you that don't know, is Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine, which featured on their album Evil Empire, which celebrated its 28th birthday this Tuesday gone by, the 16th of April. And we are here to talk about Evil Empire by Rage Against the Machine as it features as our first album of the week on That Sound Podcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. Released the 16th of April, 1996, Luke.
Unbelievable. I was still at the war, so I was.
Yeah, you were doing the backstroke.
I was doing the backstrokes there. I was swimming away.
Just waiting for the breaststroke.
Waiting for a pot of spuds, more like it. Put some dint in a pot of spuds, wouldn't he, says you?
Terror for them. Jeez, when you come out, you eat them,
I tell you. Oh, jeez, I'm still eating them to this day. Don't tell Conor Vernon that.
Yeah, what an album. So, yeah, it's our first album of the week, as Luke said. So, what we're planning on doing is just kind of dissect the album, give a bit of knowledge of what we found, and, just talk about all things Rage. As I said, it was released 16th of April 1996. There's a lot of big bands released stuff that round then, Luke.
Oh man, like that year in particular was just absolutely incredible for albums. Like you had Load by Metallica.
Yeah.
You had Onima by Tool, which I found as another incredible album altogether. What else did we
Sepultura.
Have that year? Sepultura released Roots that year. Now, a band that I wouldn't have listened to a lot would be Sepultura. Another band I wouldn't have listened to a lot, Type O Negative, released October Rust that year. And as far as I'm aware and what I see on social media, it still holds its weight to this day, that album. A lot of people talk about it as really, really good, really interesting, some top, top drum lines. Bass lines.
Come back to Sepultura, like Roots. Like, I know the lineup has chopped and changed, and we were just saying there that the two boys, Max and Igor, are actually playing the Academy.
In the Academy, yeah.
Like,
which would be incredible to go see them, man. Play.
Venue like that, holy shit, that'd be fucking amazing.
Life is Peachy by Korn was also released that year.
Right.
Great Southern Trendkill by the one and only Pantera.
Pantera, man, what an album!
What an album! All of their albums.
Yeah, I love that album as well. Is Drag the Wars on that one? No, that's on Far Beyond Driven, isn't it?
I'm not too sure. You would know
I get
more
mixed up
about
with them. Yeah, I get mixed up with them.
Pantera than myself.
What else have we got?
We had one of Slipknot's first.
Oh yeah.
Made Feed Kill Repeat.
That was the start of the madness.
That must have been the start of the madness for sure.
Drag
the Waters was on that album.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah, I love that.
That's one of your favourites.
Just fucking power. Anyway, back to Rage. So Rage sold almost a 250,000 sales in the first week.
And debuted at number one on the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
Jeez, you wouldn't be too annoyed at that first week, would you?
Wouldn't be
a bad week's work, okay?
And then they went on to win a Grammy for Tire Me in 96 for Best Metal Performance.
So at the 38th Grammy Awards, they won out of four nominations. There was a nomination from Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie. There was Suicide Note Part 1 by Pantera, I know, was one of the other nominations.
Yeah.
And then there was a song by White Zombie.
White Zombie, Jesus, yeah. So they went on to win that. Then, jumping on a few years, then on the 24th of May 2000, the album went triple platinum. There's not too many does that.
No, there definitely isn't.
No, you know what I mean? That's money in the folk out there, right?
Money in the bank there with that.
Yeah.
And like that was 2000, so 4 years after, like we're 24 years on now, I'm sure that still sold so many copies.
But going back to that album though, I think I read somewhere that album, over 3 years it took to make that album.
You were talking about that when we spoke about the album during the week, And one thing I found interesting that you had said to me was that one of the tracks was recorded in Australia.
In Melbourne. I do believe it was Down Rodeo or Revolver. I think it might have been, if I was going to put money on it now, it's just scratching my head here. I think it was Down Rodeo. It was in Melbourne, and they might have been touring there and took a break to go back into the studio or something.
Now, as far as I'm aware from what I've researched on the album, and I do recall listening to an interview a good while ago about Evil Empire in particular, they recorded that album as a live band. So they didn't track any of the instruments separately.
Okay.
So they all played.
Yeah, I did see something about that, yeah.
And I would feel that that definitely would stand to reason, because if you've watched any of their gigs around 96 on, the gigs before that are incredible as well. But how tight they were playing any of the Evil Empire tracks live was absolutely ridiculous.
I think if there's any old heads here listening, I do believe that Rage played the Failure in Tip. I'm nearly 99% sure that Rage played Down in Tipperary at the Failure.
No way.
I'm nearly sure. It might have been the Failure. It was definitely, they definitely played a small venue after the first album, possibly the second album. I could be totally wrong here, but it just after coming into my head, because I remember my cousin telling me that he seen Rage. Now, he is a liar, but I'm nearly 90% sure. But anyway, that's going off topic.
Johnny B, Tip's hottest metalhead.
Yeah.
Give us a shout on that one.
No, it's something to do with the Failure. I know the boys from...
Jesus, did you ever play at the Failure when you were a young fella?
I did.
I played the football.
Cushion in County Clare.
Under 12s.
Yeah. That was an experience, I tell you. The power steering went in the bus. Rasha Ross had to drive it. He'd 1 foot nearly out the window trying to pull the steering wheel.
He was nearly going to tie a rope around it.
Geez, we're going, man.
It was like an Earl Massey 35, so it was.
Oh, God, that was the story. A few RD heads might know that. Not that I'd kick snow off a rope, but I went with them anyway for the spin. But it was an experience. Back to Rage. Stay on topic here now. The album was produced by Brendan O'Brien. Brendan worked with Soundgarden, AC/DC, Korn, Limp Bizkit. Was the top of his game in 96, like, you know. A fun fact about Brendan also produced and mixed almost all the catalogue of Pearl Jam.
No way.
Yeah, and he also went on tour with them.
I absolutely love the sound of the Pearl Jam albums as well.
Yeah, Brendan went on to play keyboard in the 1995 tour Mirrorball across Europe. After producing it with them, and just something happened, stars aligned, and just
goes to show you right place, right time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like Micheál Quinn, that plays for Dermot Kennedy, wasn't fit to, I know, fulfill some gigs last summer. He ended up being sick, and the drum tech Steve Muncaster stepped in and played those gigs. And similar to when James Hetfield was involved in the pyro accident, and he couldn't play for a number of weeks, the guitar tech played all the guitar parts.
Remember Joey filled in for Lars?
Yeah, when he was sick, yeah.
Yeah. And the drummer for Korn, was it?
Yeah, Slayer, Dave Lombardo, the drummer for Slayer at the time. Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I just remember Joey.
Yeah. I remember him coming in with that double bass lick just when they were announcing him.
He loves Metallica. Well, love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rest him.
God rest Joey Jordison.
What a legend. So the name Evil Empire is a reference. Did you know this, Luke?
Let me think. I know it had some reference to communism and somebody in the United States government referring to Russia as the Evil Empire.
Yeah, you nailed that, boy. You nailed that.
Who was it?
Ronald Reagan, the old actor that got the president. More just America written all over. He used to be an actor and then just was the president.
I actually didn't know that.
Reagan was an actor, yeah. It's a fucking Trump. What did you call him?
Gumshade!
Asshole! But, he wasn't a fan of the early Russians, so... Yeah, like, look, we all know Rage is quite political, and all the first album was just straight to the point, you know, fuck you.
I think that's what people love about Yeah. Rage Against the Machine is, you know, quote and killing in the name. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
But this album is more, I find, more metaphors in it, more kind of, you could nearly call it poetry, some of it, that you can interpret it your own way. Some of the lyrics and stuff, like,
there are plenty of double and triple entendres there that you can make of it what you wish.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. Like, there is a lot of different stuff, but like, Zach's a brilliant lyric, like, he's unreal at writing songs,
an incredible lyricist. Yeah. And I think what separates him or puts him into that category of greatness is just what you said, you can interpret them whatever way you want into your own life.
Oh,
that you can draw comparisons or you can correlate in different ways.
Whereas the first album was blunt, just, this is, you know,
straight to the point. Yeah.
You know, turn the machine upside down and let's, you know, fight, basically. Yeah. You know?
Turn it upside down and shake the lunch money out of its pockets.
Yeah, exactly. This is more,
there's a little bit more finesse.
A lot more finesse, if you
ask. If you can say that about Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, and we'll get into it again, like, but it touches on different factors of life, not just the government and this and that, you know.
And as myself and yourself have said, it's hard not to touch on politics when you're talking about Rage Against the Machine. But we haven't a notion. Well, I won't speak for you, but I haven't. Either. I'd be as well looking into a bucket of shite, so I wouldn't be talking about politics.
What kind of shite? Pig or chicken? Or
well, it depends now what you want to make the grass grow quicker.
Plenty of fertilizer and pig shite.
Would you use a triple bar or a spread of lid?
The back of the shovel. Right, so songs on the album. One thing I did notice about this album, Luke, and maybe I'm mental, but I was giving it a good spin this week, was, and we talked to Dave Moore about it, about how strong song
structure,
that's the one, in albums is very important. And nowadays, some artists don't even give a crap what's where, or do they just want to bang it out on to the next one?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think maybe you could probably speak more to the fact, or from what I've listened to yourself and Chris Carney and Ribsy and Dave talk about, was the inaccessibility to albums back in the day. And what streaming platforms has done is that you can pick the song you've heard on the radio, or pick your favourite song and listen to it over and over and over again. The more people I talk to these days, they don't necessarily listen to albums anymore. And I feel like, I was like, whoa, am I an old fellow? What's the story going on? Because I like to listen to an album back to front, because I think you get a full understanding of the theme of the album. Yeah. As you said, almost like poetry, you know, leaving cert. What was the theme of this poem? where it's coming from, the sound, the palette, that sort of thing.
But as we were talking before, like, the artwork and finding out every day, like, everything is so accessible now. It's just completely changed. Like, isn't it? Like you said, you could buy an album and you could sit with it for 2 weeks and dissect it completely. But now it's, you know.
And that might have been all you had for, I don't know, 2 weeks, a month, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Until you got enough money to...
Like, I think I said it before on this podcast, like, I remember the first album that I got was Number of the Beast. And I just listened to that for fucking a month.
Over. Solid.
And over and over and over. Because, like you said, you could, there was no... You barely had extra vision, never mind. Yeah. Spotify. You know... Yeah, the boy in the boot of a car and went
around. Jonesboro of a Sunday morning.
You know what started it all was when people started ripping CDs.
Yeah, and they could...
That was the start of it.
Then put them on. We actually had a really interesting one with last week's guest. He was talking about that. A very good story about the ripping of the CDs and making their own sort of CDs and artwork and bits and pieces, which is cool.
Yeah,
I think you're all going to enjoy that one.
Yeah, definitely. But no, what I meant to say was that this album I found was that the gap between each song is minimal.
Yeah, it all rolls in. It's like an assault on the senses for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's not...
Or for an hour. It's an hour five, I think. Or
you mightn't even realise it between songs and an album. it might be a second, 2 seconds. There's not
exactly 45 minutes, yeah, 46
there's,
minutes.
There's not a half a second between songs. It's mental.
I so, like when songs roll into each other like that.
Yeah.
I think sonically.
Depends on the album.
It's class. Yeah, depending whether something is big and airy and needs its own space or a wee bit of a fade out. But for something like that.
Like you said, this is just an attack.
Yeah, it's an assault on the senses altogether. And that was something I was going to ask you was, although Tire Me won the Grammy, a track that I absolutely love because it is absolute anarchy from start to finish.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the strongest song on the album?
No, I can say no straight away.
I definitely think it was deserving of Metal Performance of the Year. Because that's what it is from start to finish. And bringing
maybe
it in
so.
With that bass line. Do, no, 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 no.
Well, I bet Pantera, so I'll give it a bit of credit.
Yeah, you gotta give it.
Yeah.
Give it its flowers where
it's
due.
Oh,
it's
not a bad song, but like, People of the Sun, Buzz and Parade, Down Rodeo, are they better to me?
Yeah, like the
Revolver.
Yeah, like Roll Right and Year of the Boomerang would be some
song.
Of my favourites just because of drum grooves, me being a drummer more so, I would listen to that.
Yeah.
Like, it's an album I was absolutely infatuated with.
You know what I'm just sitting here thinking
for,
is that...
Sorry, go on ahead.
Sorry, Luke,
no.
I'm just speaking out loud. It's probably the least political song on it.
Which?
Tire Me.
Yeah.
And maybe for that reason.
Well, the singing about tires when we were working in Global.
Yeah. 175s. No, seriously though, I think, yeah, like when you look at like Bulls on Parade, you know,
Down Rodeo.
How would you
yeah.
win that and for that? Like,
you
that's,
know, yeah.
Obviously, we'll get to, if you don't, like, it's pretty obvious what they're talking about.
Well,
but
what
anyway,
I was going to say
sorry,
was
Luke.
The infatuation with that album. Started number one with my obsession with the Tama Bell brass snare drum. But also that drum and bass duo, one of the ultimate Hall of Fame drum and bass duos of Brad Wilk and Tim Comerford. Good old Kilkenny name. Maybe Timmy has a few relatives. I wondered if an uncle
He's
or a grandfather.
He's not doing too well at the minute.
No, and you know, we wish him the best in his recovery from his health battles. But
yeah, because me and you were meant to go and fucking see them.
Yeah, you might actually see in some of our videos that we have an Irish flag with some Rage Against the Machine graphics on it. Myself and Gavin were supposed to go and see them in Prague in 2021 or 2022. Anyway, Zach De La Rocca made a whore of his leg, so he did acting the EGOT.
In New York, wasn't it?
Was it Chicago or New York?
Oh, he was injured in New York because my friend was at it, yeah.
I think it was in Chicago or maybe Toronto, whichever one of the gigs anyway.
He was sitting on the step for most of them.
Then they had to cancel the European tour due to his rehab and schedule, and we haven't seen
it. It was more
him.
So for...
Tim Comfort's health. Well, we wish him the best of luck, and we'll talk about that story on another podcast.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into the album.
Yeah, stay
it
on the album.
It opens up with People of the Sun.
Yeah, what a song. So if you're not familiar with it, look, check this out. Check it out. Maybe we get a wee snippet of it here.
Give a wee clip of the intro, because it actually is one of my favourite intros.
Tom. People come up.
Straight in with that absolute booming drum sound.
Yeah, and that bass comes in, baby. Comes in hot.
You're going to have to listen on yourself to hear that.
But yeah, it's about, it's basically about the Zapatistas uprising against the Mexican government, which it viewed it as corrupt and giving power back to the original ancestors, you know, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Olmecs, you know, it the lyrics speak for themselves. Like, it's a brilliant song. Again, lyrically brilliant. Another good song on that album that I just have a couple of notes on that probably the most famous song on it, Bulls on Parade.
Number two in the track listing, Bulls on Parade. Definitely my first experience with Bulls on Parade was Guitar Hero 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you remember that game or the Guitar Hero series, the Bulls on the Parade or Bulls on Parade was the song of choice from Rage on it, and one of the guitar battles on it was Tom Morello, so you had to, I think Battle Bulls on the Parade against Tom Morello, and it was absolutely class. But yeah, loved it.
Things he can do on a guitar is unbelievable.
A pure virtuoso, because he brought something new, something that hadn't been done before.
I don't think it has been done, has it?
No, it hadn't been done.
But has anyone even tried to do it?
Not really, because it's similar to Travis Barker doing his thing on the drums. You know, it's very unique, and if you try and do it, you're just sort of ripping off Tom.
What kind of guitar did he have?
He had a Fender.
Fender?
Yeah, he had a Fender Strat.
Long
with, like,
strings.
Yeah, but it had like a weird sort of Charvel, like reverse hockey stick sort of neck on it.
But he must have had some crazy pickups on it or something.
No, I think a lot of that was done with them. The solo in Bulls on Parade actually is done using the pickup switch selector.
Yeah, just flicking it on and off. And he's just rubbing his hand on the
strings. Just sort of doing, and he used an Allen key for a lot of stuff as well, just to get those effects on the.
Wow,
the sort of grinding and.
But like again, so diverse as well. Like, I seen Tom Morello playing with Dave Matthews Band.
You were telling me this before.
Yeah, like, and that's a completely different genre altogether.
It's just a sign of an absolutely great musician too, that yes, they can do their thing, but that they're not chained or harnessed to that alone.
And he seems, obviously we don't know Tom Morello, but like in interviews and that, you can read a lad fairly well. He seems to be fairly down to earth, and he seems to give back a lot. Like, I seen him recently at the Metallica thing, the what's their fundraiser?
All Within My Hands.
Yeah, he gave a big donations to that.
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I must have a look.
Yeah, he's cool. But yeah, Bulls on Parade. Do you want to play a bit of Bulls on Parade there?
We played it as the intro, so
I think
leave it just as a wee bit.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably one of the most popular off the album that people will know.
It's the most well-known song. This song has been discussed on the internet, and from what I could find, it's been interpreted in a couple of different ways. The most popular way that some people interpret the lyrics is that the bulls are like the greedy Wall Street investors, you know.
Yeah.
The American capitalist agenda that they speak
they
about.
Rally around the family.
Yeah, yeah. Another interpretation is that it's like the American military police. You know, some of the lyrics like weapons, not food, not homes, not shoes, not need. Just feed the war, cannibal animal. So it's like, you know, don't mind the people in poverty. Just keep the whole thing going.
Keep feeding the war, the war machine.
Yeah, keep feeding the war. And then there was another lyric like, what we don't know keeps the contracts alive and moving. You know, speaks for itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, just keep them in the dark like mushrooms.
Fill them full of shite.
No, but seriously, like, look, if you want to go political, man, Jesus, like some of the stuff. A fun fact about that song, Rage Against the Machine performed this on a controversial episode of Saturday Night Live in 1996. During rehearsals, they hung an upside down American flag on the ramps, which is something that they did during their shows. The SNL producers thought it might offend Steve Forbes, a billionaire presidential candidate who was hosting that night, and told the group to take down the flags. The band agreed. But just before Forbes introduced them, their roadie tried to hang the flags. The stage crew quickly took them down, and after the song, the group were banished from the building without getting to play a second song. But should have done the same thing on, was it Radio 1? Killing the name of them.
Yeah, they were told not to say that.
Yeah.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Yeah.
What a statement. Like, what?
Yeah, Forbes.
What are you doing that? Like.
Yeah.
That was the live one. Was that when they played Finsbury Park? Was that like, or was it because they remember they got Christmas
live, like.
Christmas number one as well that year? Didn't it get to Christmas number one, or did it?
Which, oh, that was
Killing
recent.
Killing in the Name, yeah, back in like 2010.
Yeah, there was something to beat X Factor.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I
think
that's why it was. It was when they got number one, they done the free gig in Finsbury Park.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, you're
they
right.
put it on.
That was just a couple of boys that just started shooting the shit online and
just for
the
crack. That's an awesome gig if you get a chance to watch that. It's on YouTube. It's absolutely incredible.
Oh, sick we didn't get to see them, mate.
We will.
I got to see them all except I got to see Audioslave, you know, which was pretty cool, but still it's not the same thing. Another song we want to chat about is Revolver. And this is a deep song, I think. I didn't really, you know, when you listen to a song, you just listen to it, you don't really get into it. But like, I don't know if you're familiar with Revolver. Do you want to stick on a wee bit of it?
Yeah, I'll stick on a wee bit of a Charlie and then I'll say what I was going to say. Skip it on as the intro is rather long. What I really like about Revolver is the change throughout the song.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes.
Like that intro, it comes in nice and slow. And then it's rather heavy hitting.
Yeah.
And then it really mellows down.
It speeds up and mellows down.
But it, like, it mellows down for the verse.
It tells
and then
the
it
story.
Goes into... You're right, it does. It gives room to tell the story.
Mm.
And the delivery is that little bit slower.
Yeah.
And that'll probably lend itself to what you're going to speak about. And then it comes in heavy hitting for that.
Yeah. It's a fucking masterpiece.
What I actually love about it is Revolver, if it is lending itself to gunshots from the drummer's perspective, that too, but when Brad Wilk's groove in the chorus is it sounds like two shots.
Yeah.
Do you know what's...
I interpret what I'm going to talk about in a minute is the heartbeat.
Yes, with that section.
You know, so for those who know it and don't know it, Revolver, the lyrics set the stage. Now, this is a pretty dark song. The lyrics of Revolver set the stage for a profound exploration of the dark realities of domestic abuse. Some of the lyrics then, the imagery of a spotless domain hiding festering hopes, hints at the facade of perfection masking inner turmoil. So, like, you know what I mean? Masking the...
Yeah, putting on the mask.
Yeah, yeah. Emotionally charged, the song portrays the woman's numbing fear as her abuser approaches. And that's where he's on with the drums, kind of, as her heartbeat and that. Capturing the sense of dread and fear in an abusive environment. And then, like, the lyric that... like we said at the start, like, it's kind of like poetry and you can interpret this any way you want, but the main lyric in the song is, "Hey Revolver, don't mothers make good fathers?" To me, it's her making the decision, right, I'm going to shoot this prick,
I'm going to get rid of him because
I'm
finally fed up with this,
and the father, like, you know. And like, during that song, it's like the heartbeat, and it's like, to me, it was like her thinking, shit, am I gonna kill him now? Am I gonna do it now? And then, like you said, the and then it's like
Revolver.
Yeah, it's like when it comes into the end of it, it's almost like an adrenaline rush. She's after doing it. He's dead now. Like the lyric says, "Hey Revolver, don't mothers make good fathers." So like,
you know,
said,
make of it what you wish.
Yeah, I can be his father and his mother now, like the mother and the father. Like, it's pretty fucking deep, but if I'm telling you, check it out if you're not familiar with it.
When we
really
had spoke
song.
About Zach Della Rocca's lyricism, and as we said, taking what you wish of it, is like he's playing on that knowledge that how mothers have that maternal instinct.
Yeah.
As well.
Like, it's a completely different angle of any of the shit that they done.
Yeah.
That's why he was saying that this album's slightly different. Like, first album isn't, like, this is... And then I did read, like, was this personal to Zach or any of them? And it was supposedly not. It did say that Zach's mother and father got divorced or whatever when he was a child, but he never spoke about it, but...
It's hard to know, you know, maybe if it is something deep-rooted, people don't really want to talk about
it.
Yeah, on that topic also... It's something that we don't condone on that sound podcast, but if you have been affected by any of that, or that's something that triggers something in you, you know, there is a national helpline or women's aid.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be...
Speak up.
That can be found online, or the number is 1800-341-900. And for anyone that's going through something like that, be sure to speak up and seek help if you can.
Yeah, yeah, wise words, Lukey. But yeah, it's a powerful song, and like I said, that's what we hope you gain from this kind of little breakdown of the album. Next time you're listening to it, as most of us do, we just listen to the song. You don't really listen.
And now you might take it with a different ear.
Yeah,
you might just listen
to it a little bit differently. It's a very, very good song. But yeah, I'll leave it at that. Then Tire Me, that won the Grammy, obviously. Some people say that it's a celebration of the death of Robert Nixon. I don't know.
That's crazy, isn't it?
I don't even know. Like,
Robert Nixon or Richard Nixon? Sorry to...
Richard.
Ex-president?
President.
Or president.
He's from Kerry.
Kerry.
Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon. Yeah. is that...
Watergate.
But isn't that the... Doesn't your one get mentioned in that song as well? The one that was married to JFK. What's her name? Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah, I want to be...
Yeah.
I want to wear a pair of dark sunglasses. I want to be Jackie. Oh,
yeah.
Please don't die.
Yeah, because she got remarried and she's Jackie something else. It's not Jackie Kennedy, blah, blah, blah. But it's all hidden fucking political shit then. You know, that's back to what the...
As we had said, though, with De La Rocca's greatness, or what separates him as an all-time great vocalist, is that you can relate all of these things in your own way. The double, triple entendres. And you can compare it to your own life.
Mm.
Situations or struggles or whatever. But the meaning might not necessarily be that. It can be what you want it to be.
I think the video and all that shows like Vietnam War and all that shit, doesn't it? That, you know. Well, I think a lot of those videos show all that. The last song that I'm going to speak about briefly is Down Rodeo. My favorite.
That's one of your personal favourites.
I just don't know, something about it. Have we got a wee clip of it?
We do. Down Rodeo.
Stick it on there.
So now I'm riding around Rodeo with the shotgun. Since the grandparents bought one. I'll just sing it instead. Definitely does inspire some headbanging for sure.
Again, I think before it really... Well, it's pretty obvious what it's about. It's about racism in America. You know, what's the lyric? Brown-skinned man walking down Rodeo. You haven't seen one since your grandparents bought one.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Look at it. It's like the Ron Seal varnish. It says exactly what it does
on the train.
You know, it's just about racism in America. But it's a fucking great song. The beat, the bass, the drums. Tom's on fire.
Like that is one of my favourites, drum-wise.
Yeah.
As well, it just has that pocket, locks in.
Mm.
It's just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. That's all the notes I have now on that album. If you haven't dusted it off for a while, stick it back in. Maybe put the bug in you again to give it a wee spin. You might have learned a little bit, you know, even with them little bits from Buzz and Parade and Revolve on that, you might listen to it a little bit different. What do you think, Luke?
I definitely think that after hearing all of this and hearing the knowledge behind some of the songs, you will listen to it with another ear.
Yeah, definitely.
A different approach.
So I think that's it for Album of the Week, is it?
That's it for Album of the Week. Now, the tracks that we talked about, we spoke about People of the Sun, Bulls on Parade, Revolver, Tire Me, and down Rodeo.
Yeah, just skip through, kind of, yeah.
You know, the other tracks that were mentioned on that album, and one or a couple of them, should I say, would be some of my favourites. I find it very hard to pick a favourite off that album. It would likely be Tire Me or Bulls, especially. I just find it so hard to get locked into that groove as a player. When you hear that bass line and that dynamic between the drum and the bass, it's almost trance-like. It transports you into another state of just headbanging. And Vietnow is another incredible track on the album.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a wee bit of this as well.
Propaganda, I think, isn't it?
I think a lot of it as well, yes.
Being fed propaganda and stuff, yeah. But then,
not half wrong.
When I was looking into them during the week, like, you have so many people saying, you know, fuck Rage Against the Machine, communist pricks, and I'm like, geez.
You're gonna have it every way though, aren't you? Because even who had made it into the limelight recently was, I think, Green Day got a lot of stick in the last while.
Right.
For having some opinion on the presidential candidates or whatever. And people often talk about that bands or athletes or anyone with a bit of influence shouldn't use their place to speak about. But as we'd say, that's not for us to have an opinion on.
It can also destroy you as well. Remember, what was that footballer's name? Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's finished.
Yeah, nobody wanted to take a gamble on him after that.
But then you had Owens, Michael Vick, you know.
Yeah, what was he? Chicken fighting and dog fighting and backing them and R.I.P. to O.J.
Yeah. But here, we love our American listeners.
The Buffalo Bill.
We love our American listeners, but we're just facing facts here with stuff we dug up during the week.
That
so
we know nothing about because we don't live in the country currently.
We're only passing on information. But yeah, look it. Yeah, any suggestions for maybe an album in a week next week, or if you're enjoying it again, if you can tell a friend, leave a review. That really helps us on Apple or Google or Amazon or wherever you're listening, or on Spotify, you can rate it. We also have a bit of merchandise there as well. You can find it on our Instagram page and our Facebook page. Send us a DM. We love to hear back from the listeners. And again, thank you and each and every one of you for listening and enjoying it. And we hope you're loving it. And we are, anyway.
We are absolutely loving it. We're enjoying this. We really, really enjoy what we're
just
doing
going
here.
Going with the waves.
Going with the flow. See, Queens of the Stone Age, go with the flow. That could be.
I was looking at Josh Holm. I was actually looking at Josh Holm in a video just before I came over here. And in my head, I'm like, I think he's one of the last, I'm not going to call him a rock star, but like a true rocker.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
What people perceive to be a rock star with the rock star attitude.
He was on the stage smoking a fag. Some fella came over. He had someone on stage, right? And it looked like some of the lad that he brought on his PR team to record him, Josh Holm just like pegged him off the stage. Like,
yeah.
Fuck off.
No, it's crazy. Like, I've listened to interviews and I've read articles and like everything else. What's that saying as it goes? Believe none of what you hear and half of what you see.
Mm.
But backing up your statement, as the word on the street goes, Josh Holm is a lunatic.
Yeah. He's on Joe Rogan. If any's
no way, I must watch that.
Yeah, he's on Joe Rogan. He's a strange fish, alright. But here, isn't most artists need to be a bit strange?
Any geniuses.
Yeah.
You should watch Mike Tyson's take on Kanye West when Mike's on Joe Rogan. It's actually really, really good.
Talking about Olmecs and Aztecs and that, another mad podcast that I listen to is Graham Hancock on Joe Rogan. His theory, he goes way deep, but he's talking about like mad shit about
worth
that.
A listen.
It's worth a wee listen if you're interested in that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's a promotion done. Stay with us, don't ever mind them boys.
Yeah, don't worry about that Joe Rogan fella.
Yeah,
he has plenty of listeners.
Never mind him.
He doesn't have to worry about putting spuds on the table like us.
Right, we catch you soon.
Thank you very much. Don't forget to drop us a suggestion for album of the week.
Or drop us a few pounds.
Yeah, that either. Buy us a cup of tea. A mug of tea. What did you used to say? A mug of sausages.
A mug of sausages. And not them old Denny ones. Get the big ones.
We will say thank you very much for this week. Let us know how you enjoyed the episode and we will catch you next week.
Good luck.
Good luck.